Good morning. Welcome to our Friday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Limmler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We've been talking and praying this week about paying attention, watching out, being on guard, of understanding the signs that surround us. Sometimes warning signs, sometimes directional signs, but signs that God has provided and interprets through His Word. And so we watch and we pray. And we pay attention to God. And today we're going to conclude the broadcast part of our week with talking and praying about watching out for opposition. Comes as no surprise that there are those who oppose the message of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they oppose any who would try to share that, who would try to proclaim that message, the transformational message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when we're on guard against that, we're able to not only notice it, but we're able to warn others. And we're able to gain courage in continuing what God wants us to do. One of those individuals was a guy named Alexander. 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. But you too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. It's not often that you see Paul naming names. He does it at other times as well. And so it's not something that he does casually. And so there's an understanding that this might be a bit of an understatement that Alexander the coppersmith did him a great deal of harm. We hear that, and in our culture, in our way of life, we somehow interpreted in our mind is, well, he offended me. I'm not sure that it was that simple. You read the life of Paul, and he suffered much as an apostle of Jesus Christ at the hands of many people. And this one in particular, and partly because, well, he was there where Timothy would be proclaiming Jesus. There was a need, a desire to warn Timothy of this man's actions. Now, warning is not the same as taking revenge. Paul makes that clear as he warns Timothy about the opposition that he will face, that God will repay him. God's going to take care of this. And in fact, throughout Paul's letters, you'll discover that any opposition that he faced, his primary concern was that they would repent, that they would become brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there's tension at times between a desire for people to repent and to become one with Christ and being careful, not allowing harm to take place. And because of that tension, there are times where individuals will cause trouble in a church, for instance. And when they wear out their welcome, whether they're a staff member or attending member or just showing up to cause trouble, they'll move on to another church, and we're not quite sure what to do about it. And because we're not on guard against opposition, we see individuals that, like a tornado, sets in and leaves a trail of damage that could have been at least partly avoided. And it's not that we name names in order to embarrass people or to cause a scene. And it always makes me wonder how widely read Paul thought this letter would be. Some of his letters, it's very clear he wants them read to the entire church. He wants them distributed to other gatherings of believers after the initial church has read it and heard it. But when you get to those that seem to be written specifically to an individual like Timothy and Titus, I always wonder, did he have any clue that this would still be read and taught and learned from 2,000 years later? And yet here we are learning from this example to be on guard against opposition. And not in a way that ignores it, not in a way even that always avoids it, but in a way that's prepared for it. As I've stated numerous times in these broadcasts and in the sermons, because I think it's important to remember and to be reminded of, trouble will exist in our life as followers of Jesus. He said so. It's how we deal with it that's important for our growth and for the benefit of those who are watching, even those who oppose us. Paul makes it clear to Timothy that this opposition was, well, an opposition to the message of Jesus more so than a personal opposition. And sometimes we get caught up in the personalities and we take it personally, and because we take it personally, we think we have to repay, we have to take revenge, we have to win. And when we recognize that the battle is not against flesh and blood, it's not a direct attack against us, we're simply the messenger being attacked, it's an attack against the good news of Jesus, we're able to learn from Paul about allowing the Lord to repay as we continue on doing what we ought to do. Now, granted, there are times where we take this idea of being on guard against opposition and, well, we equate that to anybody that opposes us, and even in a way that's godly correction. The Bible says that if we suffer, if we are opposed for doing wrong, deal with it. If we face opposition because we need the correction of God in our life, then we ought to take heed rather than oppose it, rather than push back against it. And so it's important that we spend time in God's Word, we spend time in prayer with His Spirit guiding us to have an understanding of what this opposition represents. I think of Balaam and his donkey pressing against him and opposing his movement forward. And Balaam getting so mad at this donkey, and yet its actions were directed by God in order to save his life. And so when we talk about being on guard against opposition, it's important to me to make that disclaimer that being on guard and recognizing it doesn't always mean that it's against us. Sometimes it just feels that way, even when it's for our good. And so we use those times to examine ourselves, to pay attention to what God might be wanting to do. But we also have to look beyond the correction we might need to see if there's a deliberate harming of the message of Jesus, if there's a deliberate intent to disrupt the proclamation of the gospel. And sometimes the enemy just wants to slow us down. Whether he can make us completely ineffective or not, if he can make us less effective, it's to his advantage. And so we're on guard. And not that we make a big deal and publicly name names all the time, but I believe there are times where we privately warn others to be on guard against specific people. People that seek to destroy the message of the gospel. People who seek to destroy the messengers of the gospel. People who need to repent and be transformed. And so we check our motives, we check our heart, we check our attitude, and we live as those on guard, not wanting to be harmed, and even in the midst of that, not wanting to harm those who oppose us, who oppose the message. And being on guard and watching out for opposition helps us. Not always to avoid it, but to see it coming and not allow it to derail us. So that the good news of Jesus continues to grow in our life. And the good news of Jesus continues to spread through our life. And the good news of Jesus continues to be accepted in the lives of others. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. In your love, you have warned us that there will be those who oppose us. And not so much that they oppose us as what they oppose the gospel of Jesus that lives within us. And so, God, help us to release our desire for revenge against any who oppose, who harm us, and allow you to repay. And Father, as we live as those watching out for opposition, may we be careful in how we treat those who oppose us, even as we're careful about how we treat those that we are sharing the gospel with. May it be our desire to see a repentance and a transformation. May we help others to be on guard, to watch out for specific individuals without bringing them an undue embarrassment or hardship, but protecting the flock. And Father, give us wisdom in when there may need to be names shared and when we ought to be more generic about what's happening. And Father, in all of it, may our goal be that the message of Jesus is proclaimed. It's accepted. It's shared. It's known. It's lived. And Father, for those that seek to stir up trouble within your church, may we be watchful and on guard and paying attention that they would not gain a foothold and that that destructive nature would not take root and grow. And even as we live as those on guard and those who are watchful, and may our prayer be for a transformation, a love that desires those who do harm to change their ways and know you. Father, today I pray specifically for my brother Todd, the ordeal that he's going through with his health. May you give the doctors great wisdom today. The information they've learned over the past day would be helpful in bringing greater strength to his body. May you bring about a healing, not simply of his physical body, but of his spirit and mind. May his pursuit of you bear much fruit. And Father, for every one of us as we live life, as we encounter individuals who are in the midst of suffering and hardship, may the watching out that we do always be done from an attitude of love rather than an attitude of separation. And Father, may that love that we have from you help us to lift up Jesus in every situation possible so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Friday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.